The scripture today is from Hosea 11, 12 through chapter 12, verse 6. Ephraim has surrounded me with lies, Israel with deceit, and Judah is unruly against God, even against the faithful Holy One. Ephraim feeds on the wind. He pursues the east wind all day and multiplies lies and violence. He makes a treaty with Assyria and sends olive oil to Egypt. The Lord has a charge to bring against Judah. He will punish Jacob according to his ways and repay him according to his deeds. In the womb, he grasped his brother's heel. As a man, he struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. He found him at Bethel and talked with him there. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord is his name. But you must return to your God, maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always.
This past spring, cover of Time magazine was the question, "Is truth dead?" It was a throwback to the cover on Time magazine 50 years earlier, which had the question, "Is God dead?" But the idea behind this question is the idea of, can I trust what I hear? When I read something in the newspaper, or I read something online on a blog or article, can I trust that what it says is actually true? When the president says something or other political leaders in our country say certain things, can I trust that what I've heard is actually true? When I'm watching the news at night and I'm listening to what the anchor man or anchor woman says, or as I'm noticing other media outlets and what they're reporting on, can I trust that what they're telling me is actually true? And that's a good question. It's a good question not just for political leaders or for media personnel. It's also a good question for the average American. Because the reality is that Americans lie a lot. There was a study done in 2012 by the University of Massachusetts. And they did a study of a group of people, and they determined that 60% of Americans, that when they engage in a 10-minute conversation, that at some point in that 10-minute conversation, they're going to tell a lie. So that means that for all of us here today, I imagine that at some point today, you're going to have a 10-minute conversation with someone, maybe in between worship and class, maybe after class, maybe at lunch, maybe in your small group, but you're going to have a 10-minute conversation. The odds are, I hate to break it to you, the odds are that at some point in that conversation, that person's going to lie to you. 60% of Americans do that. 40% of Americans lie on their resume. 90% of Americans lie on their online dating profile. I don't know how they figured that one out. And if you just put all of Americans into one big pot on a typical day, they're going to lie at least once or twice every single day. And men are going to do it more than women. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, not me, Steve. I always tell the truth. I'm not one of those 60% that can tell a lie in one 10-minute conversation. Okay, George Washington, let's just try you out here. Because there's been a study done on some of the most common lies told by people. Let's see if you have told one of these lies recently. Lie number one, I love this present. Lie number two, I'm sorry, I'm sick today. Lie number three, I'm really bad with names. Lie number four, your baby is cute. And then lie number five, the worst of all that you've probably already said this morning. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. The reality is that lying is very pervasive within our culture within our country. And we really shouldn't be surprised at that. Because wherever the curse of sin is found, lying and deceitfulness is sure to follow. I mean, after all, Jesus said himself that Satan is the father of lies. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. And so as Satan tries to infiltrate our world, as Satan tries to infiltrate our souls, you can be assured that lying is going to be a critical part of Satan's work. Lying and sin go hand in hand. Deception and rebellion walk together. You can't have one without the other. And a good example of this is found in Hosea chapter 12. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Hosea chapter 12. For the past several weeks, we've been walking through the book of Hosea in a series that I've entitled Love and Betrayal. I entitled it that because the book of Hosea is about a God who is deeply in love with his people, and it's about a people who are deeply in love with other gods. Love and betrayal. And you can take the book of Hosea and you can divide it into two major parts. The first major part is chapters 1 through 3, where Hosea marries a prostitute named Gomer, and Gomer betrays Hosea. And that's meant to be a demonstration that this is what's happening between God and Israel, that God has married a prostitute named Israel, and Israel has betrayed God, and it is breaking God's heart into pieces what Israel is doing. That's the first section. But the second section, chapters 4 through 14, is where God gives charges or accusations against Israel. He tries to get into more of the specifics of, okay, Israel, here's how you're betraying me. Here's how you're being adulterous. Let me give you some specifics on how this is happening. And so all throughout this section, we have noticed different accusations that God has brought. So for example, in chapter 4, God accuses Israel of not having any knowledge of him. Chapter 6, God accuses Israel of their repentance being fake and that their desire to know him is kind of like a mist. Remember the mist bottle? A mist that you just see for a moment and then it's gone. In chapter 8, God accuses Israel of putting up kings without his consent and talking to other nations without calling upon his name. And then chapter 11, God accuses Israel of worshiping other idols and running after other gods. When we come here to the end of chapter 11 and chapter 12, God has one final accusation to give against the people of Israel. One more charge. And this charge kind of undergirds all of the other charges. It's this charge or accusation that is interwoven through everything else that Israel has been doing. It's a charge of lying. In chapter 11, verse 12, God says, Ephraim has surrounded me with lies, the house of Israel with deceit. Hosea goes on to explain this charge that God has against Israel. And the way that he explains it is he calls to their mind the older story of Jacob. Jacob was kind of the father of Israel. Had the 12 sons, came the 12 tribes of Jacob, 12 tribes of Israel. And Jacob was known for being a man of deceit. In fact, that's what his name means, the one who deceives, or the one who grasps the heel. And Jacob, when he wanted to get ahead in life, what he did was he deceived people. And so he deceives his own brother Esau by getting the birthright for this bowl of soup. He deceives his own father by putting on Esau's clothes and putting sheepskin on his arms and going in there and tricking his father, making his father think that he's actually Esau so that he can steal the blessing. He even deceives his uncle, where he makes his own flocks grow while his uncle's flocks start to deteriorate, and he sneaks out of the house without ever saying goodbye. Jacob was a man of deceit and lies. That's how he got ahead. That's how he got some kind of advantage. And Hosea brings up that story and is basically telling the people of Israel, you're like your father Jacob. You're continuing on in the tradition that Jacob started of being deceitful and lying. And if you just think back to all that we've talked about of what Israel has done, you can see how what Hosea is saying is correct. Israel lied to God in their worship. They would offer a sacrifice to Yahweh and then the next day run and offer a sacrifice to Baal. That's lying. That's deceit. They lied to God in their repentance. They'd say, God, we know you. We want to follow you. That wasn't true. God knew that. They lied to other nations. They would cozy up to one nation and say, we're loyal to you, when just a few moments later they would do something behind that nation's back. They even would lie to one another. If you flip down chapter 12, verse 7, it says that the merchant uses dishonest scales. He loves to defraud. They were cheating one another, deceiving one another, so that they could get a little bit bigger of a paycheck. But maybe the most damaging part of it all is that they were lying to themselves. They were telling themselves, everything's okay. Everything's okay. Even though we're worshiping other gods, even though Assyria is bearing down us, everything is okay. Because God's going to take care of us. God's going to swoop in and protect us. God's on our side. Everything is okay. And they rationalized their sin and they justified their behavior by telling themselves, lying to themselves, that everything is okay. And this is the reason why the pattern of lying and deceit is so terrible. Because what can happen is we can start to lie to ourselves. There was a book that came out in the 1980s by a man named Scott Peck called The People of the Lie. Peck was a Christian psychologist and he was writing this book about people who do evil things over and over again. And he wanted to try to figure out why do people do that? And what he came in his book, the conclusion that he came to was that people continue to do evil things because they're not willing to be honest with themselves. He said this in the book. He said the central defect of the evil, people who do evil things, is not the sin, but the refusal to acknowledge it. He said, people who continually do evil things, what they do is they'll say, well, I'm a sinner like everybody else. But deep down inside, they don't think that. They think that they're actually better than everybody else. And the reason why they continue to do evil things is not because of themselves, it's because of someone else in their life. They scapegoat it onto someone else. They blame someone else. It's because of my spouse. It's because of my children. It's because of my parents. It's because of my neighbors. It's because of my friends. That's why I have done this evil thing. It's not because of me. It's because of others. And because they won't face up to the truth, because they won't be honest and take a good look at their heart and what they're doing in their life, because they never do that, they just continue on the same destructive path. And I think you see that in addiction. You see that in affairs. You see that in any kind of destructive path. What happens is the person knows intellectually what they're doing is wrong, but they never take time to speak truth to themselves and look at their heart. But instead, they justify their behavior and they cover up their tracks and they manipulate situations and they lie and betray other people and continue in the same way. And Hosea is saying, that's what you're doing, Israel. You're just lying and you're deceiving others and you're just trying to deceive God and you're trying to deceive yourself. And you're continuing the same pattern of behavior in the same tradition of Jacob. I heard a story about a young family. They woke up one morning and the toilet was all clogged up. And so the dad goes to the 5-year-old daughter and says, honey, do you know how the toilet got clogged? And the little girl comes and wraps her arms around her dad and says, Daddy, last night there was this really bad man who came into our house. and he stole one of our apples. And he started eating the apple and ate a few bites of it and then decided he didn't want it, and so he flushed it down the toilet. And that's how it got caught. And in many ways, that's an analogy for Israel. God has been coming to Israel, not only in the book of Hosea, but before that, and saying, Israel, your life is clogged up. Your life is messed up. Something needs to change. What's going on? And Israel kept saying, well, there's this bad, bad king. And there's this bad, bad nation over here. And there's this bad, bad problem. And that's what's clogging everything up. And how different would have Israel's story would have been if Israel had instead been honest with themselves, been honest with God, been honest with one another, and had said to God, God, it's because of us. Because we've been sinful. And we need to change. And don't we do the same thing? That we all have times where God comes to us and he says, your life is all clogged up. It's all messed up. How did this happen? And it's so easy to say, well, God, there was this bad, bad spouse. Or there was this bad, bad child. Or I had bad, bad parents. Or this bad, bad friend, or this bad, bad school, or this bad, bad situation, or whatever it was. And that's the reason that I'm in this mess. But how would our stories be different if instead we came to God and we said, God, I want to speak truth. It's because of me. It's because of my sin. And I want to change. That's what Hosea was trying to get across to the people of Israel. And the way that he eventually does this is he calls them back to that memory of Jacob. Because while Jacob did do a lot of deceiving and a lot of lying, there was something else that Jacob did. Something good. There's a story in Genesis chapter 28 where Jacob is on a journey. Partially he's running away from Esau, and partially he's trying to find a wife. And he spends a night on the road of this journey, gets a rock and uses it as a pillow. As he falls asleep, he has this dream of a stairway to heaven, and there are angels ascending and angels descending. And God speaks to him in that dream, and God says, I'm the God of your fathers. The God of your father Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. And I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be here. Jacob got up that next morning and he took that rock and he used it to build an altar. And he said, we're going to call this altar Bethel, the house of God. And Jacob said after that, he said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I didn't know it. How awesome is this place? And Hosea is reminding the people of Israel of that story in Hosea chapter 12. And he's reminding them of that story as a call, as an invitation. He's telling the people of Israel, you've been like Jacob in your past. But it's time to be like Jacob in your future. You've been like the deceitful Jacob in your past, but now it is time to be like Jacob, who met God on the road, who remembered that God is always faithful, who remembered that God is always present, that God is near. It's time to remember that story. And the reason why Hosea is bringing that story to mind and calling the people to come and wait upon God and maintain love and justice is because he believes that when the people remember that story of Jacob and remember that God meets us on the road and God is faithful and God is present and God is near, it gives us the courage, church, to speak truth. truth to God, truth to one another, and truth to ourselves. Because deception at its core is about not trusting God. We don't trust God to love us. And so we lie about who we are. We don't trust God to forgive us for what we've done that is wrong. And so we cover up our tracks and we keep it a secret. We don't trust God to take care of us in our time of need, and so we manipulate the situation for our advantage. We don't trust God to comfort us in the midst of our struggle, and so we look at everyone on Sunday and say, "I'm fine." Deception at its core is about not trusting God. And so Hosea speaks to the people of Israel, and he says, remember that story where God met Jacob on the road. And remember how God promised that he would always be there, and he would always be faithful, and how he would be near, and how he loves us. Remember that story, because when we remember that story, it gives us the courage to speak truth. Truth to God and truth to ourselves. It's so easy, church. It is so easy to lie. It is. It's so easy when you have been offended by someone and that person approaches you and says, "Hey, is everything okay?" to just say, "I'm fine." When deep down inside, you know you're not. It's so easy to spin a story to where you get a little bit more attention out of it. It's so easy to make a commitment to someone that you're going to follow through on something, or that you're going to pray about something, or you're going to do something, and then just renege that commitment. It's so easy to manipulate things, to keep secrets, to keep a certain persona that you want everyone else to see, but deep down inside you know that's not who you really are. It's so easy to do that, church. And the reason why we do that, the reason why we lie, the reason why we cheat, the reason why we deceive, is because we are afraid. Because we're nervous and we're anxious. Because we're not really sure if God loves us. We're not really sure if God is faithful to us. We're not really sure what God's people are going to think about us. And because we're nervous and anxious and fearful, we lie and deceive. But there's another way, church. Scott Peck, in his book, made this comment. He said, "People dedicated to the truth live in the open. And through the exercise of their courage to live in the open, they become free from fear." I want to live a life that's free from fear, don't you? I want to live a life that I don't struggle with anxiety and nervousness and what people think about me. And the way we do that is we speak truth. We speak truth to one another. We speak truth to God. We view ourselves honestly. And we speak truth to ourselves. And the way we get to that point of speaking truth is remembering that God is faithful and God is here and God does love us. And because I know that to be true, I can speak truth to him and to one another. And we're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. And ministers and elders are going to surround this auditorium. We're going to sing a song. But really what this invitation is, it's an exercise in speaking truth. It's an opportunity for you to walk over to one of your leaders and to actually be honest with them about, here's what's really going on in my life. And I want to encourage you to do that. That as we sing this song, if you're struggling with something, don't hide it anymore. Walk over to one of your leaders and speak truth to them. If there's some sin in your life that's not good, walk over to one of your leaders. Stop keeping it a secret. Walk over to one of your leaders and speak truth to them. If you're carrying a burden this morning don't just say, I'm fine. Speak truth to one of your leaders or speak truth to one of your brothers and sisters and unleash that burden. That's living a life free from fear. If there's any way we can help you this morning, please come. If you want to be baptized, please come now as together we stand and sing.